Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
So we're talking about approval addiction, and let me kind of go through a little bit about what this is. And I want to help people address the real problem, because it is a major, major issue that I come across, especially in coaching. And so basically what it is that people are consciously and unconsciously making decisions from this core idea of that they need approval. And that if they make the wrong decision, they're not going to get approval, or they'll be disapproved of. And that causes an extraordinary amount of pain for them. So they don't end up doing the things that they really want to do. They only, well, let's look at how limited this could actually be. They only do the things that they're going to get approval for. But in order to do that, you have to presuppose what other people are going to approve of, which is, like, you have to really think about what you're going to do, the action that you're going to take, and then know how another person is going to respond to that action or think about that action. So it causes a big problem. But I don't think that approval addiction is the actual problem. I think that it is a symptom of another problem, and the problem itself is basically authority. So I'm going to start off by talking about authority. Authority is when we're raised, you know, right from birth, mom and dad they're the authority figures in our life, and they're the ones that are responsible for keeping us alive. I don't think that I can drill this idea home enough in people's minds that because we once were vulnerable to death, if somebody didn't take care of us, that the reality of that is still in our subconscious mind and can be controlling our behavior. It really becomes dangerous not to consider how much the being susceptible to that idea is causing a major problem in a lot of people's lives. So you have to understand the subconscious mind a little bit to understand why that would be, because when you're an adult, it doesn't really seem like it would make a whole lot of sense. Yes, I know I was vulnerable when I was a child, but I'm not a child anymore, and I can basically take care of myself. How could I still have this belief running around in the back of my mind that makes me vulnerable? Well, your subconscious mind, first and foremost, does not understand time. It also does not understand that you were once a six-month-old little baby that couldn't do anything, and now you're a 26 or a 36 or a 46-year-old man or a woman who's perfectly capable of taking care of themselves, but is also suffering from approval addiction because you won't do things that you really want to do with your life because you're afraid people will disapprove of you, or you're altering your behavior so that you get approval from other people. So let's talk about how this happens. Part of the idea is this. In a healthy childhood, when we have relatively healthy parents, and I will also throw this little gem nugget in there, that you can have healthy parents and they're still slightly dysfunctional. Everybody is slightly dysfunctional. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect parents. Knowing this, you can still have healthy parents. And if we have relatively healthy parents, the idea is that through time and teaching and discipline and direction, a parent is helping a child develop and become confident in their skill sets. They're teaching the child how to think. They're teaching the child how to make decisions. They're teaching a child how to become competent in different behaviors, so that at some point in time, the child can go off on their own as an adult and they can take care of themselves. Not just that, But the child could go out there and live the life that they choose to live for themselves. So the majority of the world grows up and they go out and they do basically whatever they were taught to do to survive, kind of. Like, even though we don't really view survival today as like living in a cave and, you know, killing a woolly mammoth and, you know, making a fur to keep us warm and all of that, you could live in a condominium and have a great couch and you drive a nice car, but basically you're still very close to survival because you're working for someone else. You don't really know what you're doing with your money. You're not expanding your skills yet, and you're vulnerable to things that happen in the world or things that happen with your employer, or maybe you are in a relationship where somebody's financially supporting you and you're vulnerable to that. Like, there's a lot of different ways that we can show up being very vulnerable in the world if we did not get the correct guidance as a child. So the idea was that we were supposed to get the correct guidance so that we come out that we're not vulnerable, we know how to take care of ourselves, we know how to think and problem solve, and we can continue to live a magnificent life that we were designed to live. So let's say that doesn't happen. What ends up, then what is the alternative? What is the problem? Well, it starts off with dysfunction being passed down from one generation to another. But we also have to realize that a lot of people have children for various different reasons. Some kids are not planned. Let's face it. There's probably the majority of kids are not planned. So you have people that may or may not be prepared to be a parent. Doesn't matter if you're prepared to be a parent. There's no law that says you have to be prepared to be a parent. You have a child, it's your responsibility for taking care of this child. So people do the best they can with what they have. I truly do believe that. It doesn't mean that it's good enough, though. That's very important to understand. So now you have somebody who has a child or has children. They are not emotionally mature themselves. They are not independent themselves. They're relying on a lot of other people to help them. It could be the government. It could be a spouse. It could be an employer. They have, you know, enough education to keep them employed in the job that they're in. But if anything changes, they could be very vulnerable to being unemployed. There's a lot of insecurity going on in the adult's life, a lot of uncertainty. That is being passed down to this child. But another thing that gets passed down that's very interesting is emotional projection. Emotional projection is when a parent is never really taught self-love. So part of this healthy growing up and becoming independent is also teaching a child how to love themselves. So mom and dad love you when you're a kid. That feels really good. It gives us a sense of certainty and security as we're growing up. A trust develops. It allows us to feel the freedom to reach out and learn things, to reach out and touch things and grab things. And it also gives us the freedom to make mistakes without having borderline abusive or actually abusive situations take place, which then cause the person to shut down. So the child learns to love themselves, and they grow up and they don't need to get love from another person. If the child doesn't learn to love themselves, they grow up and they crave love. It's a craving. And approval is one type of love that we get from another person. So it becomes an addiction where we're always doing things to get approval. And this is where we see people go into various different behavior patterns that will lock them into the idea of how they actually get approval. If this parent that had a child is looking to be loved by the child unconditionally because they didn't have that in their life, the little baby's born and the little baby's completely dependent on you and they're googly-eyed and they love you unconditionally, it is fulfilling a part of you that actually we should be fulfilling ourselves. And the addiction to that child then becomes keep the child dependent upon me so that that child, that connection, that love, that need needs to be there so that I can be fulfilled. The thing is that Number one, the parent's not getting any better. They're getting worse. They're going to constantly manipulate that child for the rest of the child's days unless the child figures out a way to break away from the manipulation at some point. But the dangerous part with this child, this formative little boy or girl growing up, is that they also want love. They also want approval. And they can't get it from somebody that doesn't have it. So they grow up craving it, never learning how to give it to themselves. But what ends up happening is, in order for them to feel safe in the world, they start to go through behavioral changes almost as a test. So I'll give you an example. Let's say the child is doing something. They're playing with their toys, and they do something that the parent wants them to do. The parent gives them approval because they did the thing that the parent wants them to do. Maybe it's put their toys away or stack them up in the corner or something. And the child does that correctly. The parent gives that child approval. If you have a parent that doesn't give approval, it doesn't matter what the child does, they're not getting approval. So what then they begin to look for is, how do I get attention from the parent versus approval? Because the child needs to feel some sense of security and some sense of certainty. So it's going to seek out that attention from that parent. So now what the child is doing, like I said, is they're testing behaviors. They test behaviors in the way that they show up in the world, how they act, how they behave. We've often heard, like, a child that is misbehaving in school, that could be a cry for help. It could be a cry for attention. We get attention for doing things that aren't good. We can also get attention for doing things that are good. But if that child starts to become hardwired, that the only way that they're really getting any attention is by doing things that are not good or doing things that are inappropriate, the child becomes wired for that approval based on the behavior. It's not based on a value system. It's not based on ethics. It's not based on the idea of what we think is right or what we think is wrong. It's based on whatever it is that child is experiencing getting any kind of attention for at all. So as the child then moves out beyond the inner core circle of mom and dad, and it begins to go to school or interact with other children or people socially, the same process is taking place, but in a little bit more of an exaggerated form, because now the child is dealing with more people. So if the child is at school, they're looking to fit in with other groups of children. Does the other kids, do they like me? Do they not like me? How do they behave towards me? Do I get bullied? Am I the child that everybody likes to hang around? Am I the child that everybody doesn't want to hang around? Do they think that I'm the weird kid? All of these different experiences that show up as we're children begin also to define how we actually see ourselves as we're growing up. Now, if we don't have a parent that can monitor this behavior, that can witness this behavior, and then show us how to correct it so that we're getting the proper kind of attention in our life, it continues to go down a rabbit hole that's actually not very good. So the child may seek attention by getting poor grades. A child may seek attention by being overtly sexual. A child may seek attention by misbehaving or by hurting other children or by bullying. Whatever it is that the child tests, in other words, they do a behavior, they're witnessing the feedback that they get from the behavior. If the feedback is working for the kid, then they will continue with that behavior. That behavior has a very good chance of staying in place for a lifetime unless it gets corrected for some reason. So when we talk about adults, even if it wasn't really bad when they were kids, the idea is that because they were never given authority over their own life, everybody else in their life had authority over them. if everybody else has authority over them, the difficulty that the now young adult has to face is that they have an internal desire to do one thing, but behaviorally, subconsciously, their mind says, you have to figure out what this adult likes, and you need to be that so that you get the approval from the adult. If you don't get the approval from the adult, then you're not safe. You're not secure. So what ends up happening is that we end up letting people walk all over us. We open ourselves up for manipulation. In worst case scenarios, we open ourselves up to people who are bullies or abusive, and it can go down a really not good rabbit hole. So when we see this, we call it approval addiction. We're looking for the approval of other people before we can make a decision for ourselves to be able to do the thing that we want to do. And when a person is finally going to step out and say, I want to create my own life, or I want to start a business, or I want to do something amazing, where we see this spill over where it becomes a problem is that there is nobody there to give that person approval. There's no authority figure to tell that person what to do. You become your own authority figure. And if you have not learned how to be your own authority figure, and if you have not learned how to measure your own success, give yourself approval for what it is that you're doing, then subconsciously this behavior takes over in a way where you will find yourself not getting your needs met in almost every area that you're actually working in. So then what does that look like? Well, it looks like failure, because then nothing is actually working the way that you want it to work. Even if you do get something right, subconsciously your mind will say, well, that's foreign, I'm not familiar with that, and it'll go back to its old paradigm. So here's what we need to do to be able to change this, because all it does is it continues to go around in circles until a person either becomes very, very self-destructive, because in the worst case scenarios of this, you start to get into different forms of escapism, if you will. It can lead to drug and alcohol addiction. It can lead to dangerous promiscuity. It could lead to cheating in marriages. Oh, let me just talk about that for a second. Let me just bring that up. I have met many, many people who have cheated in their marriage because they have approval addiction. They need to get approval from other people. They were not getting it from their spouse, and somebody else paid attention to them in their life, and the next thing they know is they're cheating on their spouse. These are people that never had any intention of being unfaithful to their partner. They also had no idea that they were this addicted to the approval of another person, so much so that because somebody else paid attention to them when they weren't getting their needs met, they were able to justify breaking their own value system because it became that strong. It is very much just like any kind of drug or alcohol. When it releases the feel-good chemicals in our body when we're actually getting that approval from someone else. But let's say we're going out and we're doing a business. One of the problems that we run into with this, and it's a very serious problem, is that we're in our own authority at this point to be able to make the decisions for our life and for our business that we want to make. If we're not 100% conscious about how we're making those decisions, we subconsciously make them so we actually will get approval. One of the places that I see this cause problems for, especially for business folks, is that that doesn't necessarily mean money. It just means approval. So if we are going to do something that is, say, incredible for our own life, or we're going to do something that's amazing in general, we really want to create the life of our dreams, we have to be willing to risk other people not agreeing with us, because we have to take a stand for something. And anytime we ever take a stand for anything in our life, we're going to get two things that happen at the same time. You're going to get people that do agree with you, and you're also going to get people that really don't agree with you. So when you do this, if you're becoming very aware that there's people that do not agree with you, the pain that a person gets over that will cause them to retract and actually not be the person that they need to be in order to create that desired result that they want. And they'll change their behavior so that they get approval over results. And that's where it starts to get really bad. Because let's think about it like this for a second. When we're an adult, if we're seeking approval, that means that we basically have to step into the paradigm or the belief system of the other people that we're around. And if everybody's going in the same direction, we're generally not creating the life that we want. We know that. We've heard this for years. Like, you know, if everybody in the room is going one way, chances are everybody's going the wrong way. Somebody has to be thinking different in order to break out of a norm so that something different that can be created. But if I can't break out of that norm because I'm afraid to disagree with somebody else, or I'm afraid to have any kind of conflict in their disagreement with me, then I will automatically do whatever is necessary to seek the approval of other people, and I stay the same. So we see this happen in marriages. We see it happen in business. We see it happen with people in life in general. And the sad thing about it is that if a person does not understand that that's happening, they really don't have any power over it. So what they do is they never really step into their individual uniqueness. They never really get to know what about me is actually unique, where I can have my own opinion, I can have my own decisions in my life, I can create a life that I desire where it's okay that other people actually disagree with me, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is really what I want for my life. They become very, very lost in that situation. So if we're going to change this, one of the things that we need to change first and foremost is, where is the authority in our life actually going to come from? We don't understand that when we're seeking approval, that our parents still have authority in our mind. And that's very important to understand this. So the idea is that we need to do something that supersedes our parents' authority so that we can take authority back in our own life and we can actually make the decisions that we want for ourselves. So here's the recommendation that I have given people over the years that really does seem to help. And it works in a way where you can get past years of therapy to really kind of get over this problem. It is visualizing or seeing yourself as what is your position in your own life and in the world. So if we believe in a higher power, you could call it God, you could call it the universe, you could call it spirit, call it energy, call it whatever you want. You basically came from this power, but you came through your parents, right? So being that that's the case, that's where the purpose comes from. The purpose didn't come from our parents. Our genetic DNA comes from the parents, but our spiritual DNA comes from God. It comes from spirit. That is what has the ability for us to live this unique purpose out in the world. If our parents always have authority over us, we're always seeking approval or permission to be able to do whatever it is that we want to do. And if we're going to do something different, chances are we're not going to get it. So if we change that position in our mind and we say, the obedience to my vision or my purpose needs to be what I believe in as far as God goes, right? So like I said, God, spirit, universe, whatever it is that you believe. But you put that authority figure first and foremost in your mind. And if you understand the truth and the concept behind that higher intelligence, it basically, in every religion, it says the same thing. It's acceptance, it's love, it's non-judgmental, it is all potential. It is purposeful, meaning that every unique form of life has a very specific purpose. It is our job to figure out what that purpose is and follow it. And religion has always talked about like a personal relationship with God. So if we talk about that on a spiritual or an energetic level, it is a personal relationship with the higher side of ourself, and listening to that before we listen to anything else. That means that the only approval that we actually need is the approval of ourselves. If we approve of what we're doing, then we're in the power seat to go do and live the life that we actually want to live. If we're thinking, I can't do this because of what other people are going to think of me, we're not in the power seat, and we've actually put somebody else in the position of authority in our life. So what we want to do is we want to take that position of authority back. We want to own it for ourselves. It is our higher self. It is our God, if you will. It is the thing that will always take you in the right direction. Now, people might think to themselves, well, what if I make a mistake? What if I do something and I don't get approval? What if I get disapproved of? Or what if the thing that I'm doing is not the correct thing that I'm doing? That, folks, is called getting to know yourself. That's where we bring in self-awareness. Self-awareness comes from listening to the higher self, doing the thing that you're going to do. You get the feedback. You then make a determination based on that feedback if you're doing the right thing or not, and then you make the correction and you go out and you learn how to do the right thing. Whenever we stand for something very big, we always have to understand there's going to be a large majority of people that we don't get approval from. And it has to be okay, because that's not why we're here. We're not here for other people. We're not here to make other people happy. We're here to be happy, to be fulfilled, to follow our purpose, to follow a specific direction in our life, to live in joy and live in freedom and be obedient to that higher self that we have inside of ourselves. So if you are suffering from approval addiction, the thing that you really want to do is you want to become your own authority, make God or your internal higher self your own authority, and follow that no matter what. Forget about what other people think. You have to realize that nobody consciously, I mean, from a real higher conscious perspective, ever really wants to hold you back. People hold other people back out of fear, and people hold other people back out of lies. So when you see someone doing that, even if it's your mother, if it's your father, if it's a spouse, it could be a brother, a sister, a cousin, a friend, somebody that you love and care about, your commitment must be to yourself first. It must be to your higher self first. Follow that. You will stay free. You will stay on the right path. You will break the addiction to other people, and you will find a level of freedom that most people never get to experience. To not be addicted to the approval of other people gives you the freedom to be, do, and have whatever it is that you want in your life for the rest of your life. Go out and make it a good one. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.